morning and welcome to worship on this Lord's Day. We're glad to have you all here and those of you in our vast broadcast network. We're delighted you're with us. I hope you'll go to the church's webpage. There you can find a copy of the bulletin and follow along, sing along with us. I hope you'll do that. For those of you here, please look at the announcements. It is a red letter day for many reasons. I underscore the fact that our history books are here. Catherine Sellers has worked tirelessly, and you'll find in the commons when you leave today a copy for you. If you'd like to buy another copy for a friend, $20, then you can owe us. Your credit's good. But it's wonderful, and you'll enjoy it. I hope you'll RSVP, if you haven't already, for the church's 175th birthday celebration coming up in 2 weeks. Kirking of the tartans that day, and you'll see an announcement about wearing plaid, carrying a tartan if you have one, lining up here. They are in the commons on the table, invitation letters. You've all been invited multiple times, but for the 30th, we have a church letter which you could sign and personalize and then send to somebody that you'd like to see. From our Christ Church family, from somebody in the community, take a letter and an envelope and sketch a note. It would mean a lot to somebody, and perhaps they'll come and join the fun. Monday night at City Hall, there'll be a meeting that involves pickleball courts. We have some addicts in our congregation, and I want you to know that Will Scott probably would have left 3 years sooner had we not had pickleball in the community. So if you'd like to join with and support your friends in asking for more pickleball courts, there's a chance to be present. Let me say this word about today's worship service. It will have a flavor of Appalachia. It will be slightly Pentecostal. The music and the use of music will be slightly different for us, and you'll be confronted with the reality of temptation and sin, but otherwise, you got a lot to look forward to. Are there other announcements that need to be made? Then, let us share the peace of Christ. The peace of Christ be with you all. Greet your neighbors warmly.
Please stand for the call to worship. O sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing and give praise to God's name.
Tell the good news of salvation from day to day.
And let us pray. God of light and truth, you are beyond our grasp or conceiving. Before the brightness of your presence, the angels veil their faces. With lowly reverence and adoring love, we acclaim your glory and sing your praise. For you have shown us your truth and love in Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. This is the message we heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
Sisters and brothers, we must be honest with ourselves and not be deceived. All have gone astray. All have walked away. Now is the time to come clean, to get right, to come home again. As we bow our heads and begin to pray silently, listen. Listen for his call. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See there on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home, come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home.
And together we pray. Help us always to place our love for you above our love for the things of this world, the desire of the flesh, the desire of the eye, the pride in riches. Forgive us our sins, we earnestly pray, and by the life and the lessons of Jesus, keep us in the paths of righteousness, for we ask in his name, amen. In John's first letter to all God's children, he declares to us that if we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. With that assurance, let us turn anew from sin and serve the Lord with gladness, for the world and its desires are passing away, but those who do the will of God live forever. Amen. The children, please come forward. We've got a special treat for you. Come over here a little way. Come on, Haynes. Sit down right there on the floor.
Why should my heart feel lonely? Wasn't that beautiful? Wasn't that beautiful? A long time ago, churches in the South, small churches, might have somebody who was good on a guitar, and they might have somebody who had the courage to sing in church. And so music was much simpler and much more basic. That song says, even if the world is a busy place and God has to keep an eye on everything, God keeps a special eye on the sparrow. Now, the sparrow is one of the smallest birds, not bright red like cardinals, not blue like bluebirds or jays. Sparrows are kind of the color of the earth, small and we might think insignificant, but if God has his eye on the sparrow, God has his eye on us. It says whenever you go to preschool or whenever you go out to play, when you're saying your prayers at night and when you get up in the morning, God has his eye on you. It's a very simple message, but a very important one to you and to your parents and to your grandparents, to all of us. In a big, busy world, God has his eye on each of us. I want each of you to have a sparrow. And for some of the other kids here, if you'll come up later, I'll be sure that you get one as well. Haynes. Now let's pray together, okay? I'll say a few words and you join me. Dear God, thank you for loving us. And keeping your eye upon us when we are young and as we grow old, always watch after us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus loves me.
As we prepare to hear God's word for us in Scripture, let us pray. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, illumine me, Spirit divine. Amen. Amen. Our first scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Joshua, chapter 24. Listen for God's word. Now, therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The setting for our second scripture reading is Pentecost. They are gathered, and suddenly the power of God is manifest in the speaking in tongues and the dancing flames of fire. We pick up with the power of that moment. But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Choosing sides. For those of you who have missed a Sunday, let me review. We, all of us, were Roman Catholic from the beginning of the church through the 1500s. We were following Peter, who was given the keys to the kingdom of heaven, and the Bible was interpreted so as to support the establishment with eternity as the reward that kept us part of things. Life was at the time extremely hard, cold and dirty and smelly and short. People rarely lived to see their grandchildren. Therefore, heaven was a great incentive, a prize to be longed for. Then came the printing press and the fact that the Bible could be available to many people. Martin Luther read the Bible and read it differently than he had been taught. Then John Calvin came, and he, part of the Reformation, determined that not only should we know the word, but we ought to try to live it out. And Geneva was his great experiment in living the gospel. John Knox went to Geneva and studied under Calvin and came back to Edinburgh. And from him came our plan of organization in the church and many of our ancestors who in the past Sunday came from claim to colonial America. Our Joshua text, which Sally read, reminds us of the fact that they came to a new land experiencing new freedom, a kind of manifest destiny that we would see in America. And then to the Appalachian South. Now, the picture on your bulletin today reminds us of how things had been in England and in Scotland and in the big cities, Philadelphia, Boston. But when you get to the South, churches were small, congregations were intimate with each other. People knew each other's business. Now, there were fewer Presbyterians in that South because, well, they were all required to go to Princeton and some other seminary, whereas the Methodists were riding circuit and the Baptists were called to preach when they were teenagers. So there was much more exposure. People were used to making choices. In the old country from which our ancestors came, it was a choice between faith and works, between word and sacrament, between our understanding of communion as transubstantiation or simply a spiritual present. There was a choice between bishops and choosing your own preacher. There was an organization that was top down or people up. We argued about the type of baptism. It was summarized once by somebody saying it's kind of like basketball. Presbyterians dribble, Catholics pour it on, Baptist dunk. We have had to make choices, preferences all along. And then came the conversion experience as opposed to nurturing in a family. Many people, particularly Presbyterians, are baptized as children. Calvin said that's because as Jesus was circumcised on the eighth day, so we inherit the faith of our parents. In other denominations, a person has to become old enough to respond to an altar call. But in colonial America, no longer in a parish system where you automatically belong to a congregation because of where you lived, now you had to make another choice, and that choice was to belong. Lives, again, were hard for all the same reasons. Even in a free land, cold and dirty and smelly and short, eternity was a great incentive. I was in a comfortable suburban church in Atlanta, and we were invited downtown to a church that housed homeless people. And we talked about what we ought to do, about our blessings in contrast. And before we went into a meal, a simple meal to be shared at tables with those who were homeless, the host minister said to us, now we'll go in and we'll go through the line and we'll sit down. And before we eat, we always sing a song. Today we're going to sing I'll Fly Away. But they'll mean it. That was the frontier. You know, life was so hard that someday the promise that we'd go home was what kept us going. Presbyterians have always been big on head knowledge. If you look at Calvin and Knox and those people, the graduates of Princeton and other fine institutions, they were big into explaining theology. Often on the frontier, what was needed was a feeling sermon, something that touched the heart. Emotions became important. When you sing the songs today, perhaps it will remind you of your childhood and feelings about the church you grew up in. Presbyterians along the way began to adopt some of the methods of other churches. Music, as an example, was a way to offer comfort and strength. A member of my congregation once said, you know, the music I really like is what I find myself singing when I'm standing at the sink on Wednesday morning. Abide with me. Blessed assurance. We all step livelier when we sing Onward, Christian Soldiers. And his eye is on the sparrow, which Hilliard and Adam did for us so beautifully. I had a member of my church, he was a builder. His son, when he graduated from high school, went to work for him. They were on a job downtown in Atlanta, and he called me to say there had been an accident. They were working, rehabbing an old motel, and the concrete slab of the room above had fallen. And he said, I think Joe is dead, and indeed he was. Well, we went through a lot, legally and spiritually. And one day he said, let's go to ride. He put in a tape then, and country music began to play, and we talked, and all of a sudden, in a twangy Tennessee sound, why should I feel discouraged? His eyes on the sparrow. I think that music saw that father through. His eye is on us. And in that we feel our consolation. But the sermons in that day were also confrontational, as they sometimes needed to be. Picture John the Baptist. You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor, for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, which does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. No wonder there were altar calls in their services. What did they want? They wanted to be saved from hell. But for what? To be saved is necessary. But we are saved for a purpose, for good works. saved by faith through the grace of God, to go on doing God's work until the kingdom comes. In the early days, we sweated more about judgment than I suppose we do today. For me personally, the thing I have always worried about is disappointment. Not that I would meet Jesus one day, but that when I met him, I would have to face the things I had done and not done. I fear that, like Sally when she teaches, there might be slides shown upon a screen. John says, if you got two coats, share one. If he showed my closet, I would shiver. If he showed our pantry, I would feel guilty. We are saved, you and I, blessed to be saved, but saved for a purpose, to share our abundance, to deal honestly, to bear fruit, to help those who are hungry or thirsty or naked. The vision of Scripture spoken of in today's lesson is what we have before us. We are capable people, and we enjoy being together. It is a delight to see your smiling faces every week. And I'm proud to know that wherever you go, whether in retirement or to your job, whether to school or in your neighborhood, you try to live the kind of lives described then, because God has promised us paradise in heaven and called us to purpose here on earth. Choosing sides. And we choose Jesus because he is the way. Look to him, learn from him, lean on him, love him as he loves you. He has already done the work of salvation. You will not go wrong if you walk with him. In fact, every day, try to walk a little closer.
Thank you.
remain standing as we affirm what we believe using the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Almighty God, your word brought forth creation, waters teeming with living beings, and the air alive with birds, and the trees which in autumn make the world a canvas for your colorful brush. We mark the changing of the seasons, and we rejoice in the richness of life all around us. And so we pray for your wisdom for all who live upon the earth, that we may wisely manage and not destroy what you have made for us and our descendants. Lord, in your mercy. You, O God, are our hope in time of trouble. In Ukraine, yes, and around the world, threats seem to multiply. May your will overrule human willfulness here at home and abroad, so that claims may be settled without violence. Hold back both the impulsive and the vengeful, so that peace with justice may be accomplished for all your children. Lord, in your mercy, and among those close to us as family, as church family, as neighbors, near and far, show your compassion for the ill, your comfort for those who grieve, your watchfulness for those displaced by age or disease, your encouragement for those whose schooling or employment or general health still suffers from COVID's damage. Upon each one, loving God, may your touch bring blessed relief. Lord, in your mercy, and hear us as we offer the prayer taught by Jesus when we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The ushers come forward now to receive our tithes and offerings.
is God from whom all blessings flow.
Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him, above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for all your blessings to us and for the privilege of sharing with those who have too little. Keep your church strong so that in your strength we may serve in Jesus' name. For in his name we pray. Amen. Invitation letters that you can personalize and send to a friend. And I remind you about City Council and the importance of that meeting. On the road to Montreat, where we go sometimes, there is a one of those plastic signs with the changeable letters. I think it's been neglected for a long time because what it has said now for years, where will you spend eternity? Smoking or non-smoking? Non-smoking is the right answer. And out of gratitude for that, and that alone, we need to live like Jesus lived and like he teaches us. Go then and be the good people that you are, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, now and forever. Amen.
Ha ha.